poison. Finishing my fourth rum and coke, I realized I was drunker than I thought, as my words were starting to slur, and I was unloading my problems onto a bartender I never met. I'd already filled Carla Babes in on my whole life story in less than 2 hours.
"So, what are you afraid of?"
she asked, leaning her forearms on the bar. "I don't want to hurt her."
"Sounds like you already did."
She had a point.
"You want to know what I think?"
"Why else would I be here this evening?" Carla chuckled.
"I think you're afraid you'll get hurt."
The next morning I woke with a wicked hangover. Even though I had a screaming headache and it felt like the desert had taken over my mouth, I hoisted my dragging body out of bed at the ass crack of dawn. Aubrey had left with some suit, looking too comfy for my liking. I needed to see if they arrived together too. There was a Starbucks 3 doors down from her office, and I thought it was a distinct possibility she'd make a pit stop before work, so I parked with a view of the entire block and slumped into position. 3 hours passed. I was in desperate need for a second cup of coffee, and there was no sign of Aubrey. I reached into the glove compartment, pulled out a baseball hat, and slipped on my sunglasses. It wasn't a great disguise, but the chance of running into her by now had to be slim. The moment my feet touched concrete, I saw her turn the corner. Fuck! I froze for a moment, and then, luckily, instinct took over. I hopped back into the cab of my pickup and slouched down. She was busy texting on her phone and didn't look up until she hit the door to Starbucks. That was close. A few minutes later, she emerged with her white venti coffee cup and never looked in my direction. Damn, she looked just as good going as she did coming. And she was alone. I did the same thing that afternoon. The 5-minute glimpses of her were enough to make the whole day worthwhile. So I did it again the next day, and the day after that. Aubrey had a definite routine. I wasn't surprised. She arrived at 9:30 and left at 7. 2 out of 3 of my evening stalkings, the asshat was with her when she called it a day. I'd even settled into a routine of sorts. I reported for morning stalking at dawn and ended my day at dusk. In between, I took off for a few hours and went to a gym 2 towns over. The evenings I spent drowning my sorrows with Carla Babes. This particular morning, the hotel hadn't set up the coffee urn by the time I was ready to leave, and I was itching for some caffeine. Seeing as I had Aubrey's routine pretty much down pat, I snuck out of my truck and slipped into her Starbucks. It gave me a thrill to be inside, even though I was certain she wasn't arriving for hours. I ordered my plain old black coffee, and the young girl behind the counter smiled.
"Can I get you anything else?"
"No, I'm good, thanks." Then a thought escaped my mouth. "Actually, do you know a woman who comes in every morning about 9:20? Auburn hair, probably orders a non-fat 3-pump vanilla latte, low foam and extra hot?"
"Sure, Aubrey."
I dug a 20 out of my pocket and held it out to the girl. "Her coffee is on me today." She looked confused. "Keep the change. And don't give her a description of the guy who wanted to buy her coffee, okay?" She shrugged and stuck the 20 in the front pocket of her jeans.
"Sure thing."
A few hours later, I watched Aubrey go inside, right on schedule. She was texting away as she walked in, but when she came out with a huge smile on her face while carrying her complimentary extra-hot, low-foam, non-fat, 3-pump vanilla latte, I knew it wasn't the last time. I wanted to be the one to put it there. Chapter 16. After a few days, I decided to change up my stalking itinerary. I hadn't yet ventured to Aubrey's house. Heading there while she was at work would give me some clues about her life, namely, whether she was shacking up with Clark Kent's dorky twin. I'd decided that I needed as much information as possible before confronting her, even if some of it was going to make me ill. When I pulled up to the small brown bungalow, The exterior looked like typical Aubrey, quirky, a little messy, but unconventionally and stunningly beautiful at the same time. The first thing that caught my eye, though, was the grass out front. It looked like it hadn't been cut for months. What the fuck kind of man lets his woman's grass get to nearly a foot high? Jackass. With my baseball cap and sunglasses, I looked around me to make sure there were no nosy neighbors. Peeking in the window, I saw that the inside was much tidier than the outside. Her living room had cream-colored furniture, and there were some silk flowers on the coffee table. There was nothing to indicate one way or the other whether a man was living there. I nearly fell back into the bushes when I saw the shadow of something moving. It couldn't have been Aubrey, because I'd waited until she safely disappeared into the office building before coming here. Who the fuck was in her house? Adrenaline pumped through me. Deciding to walk to the window at the other side of the house, I trudged through the overgrown grass, swearing under my breath again about it. I nearly jumped out of my skin when I saw the face plastered against the glass pane. Not just any face, no fucking way, I yelled. My voice must have scared him, and he went down for the count. Mutton. Holy shit, mutton! Through the window, I watched as the goat lay on the ground. He'd fainted, of course, shit. I kept tapping on the glass to try to wake him. Come on, little guy, wake up. After a few minutes, he eventually wriggled his body and stood upright. He kept moving around in circles and seemed discombobulated. I needed to get him and decided to try to break open the window. I'd replace it if I had to. To my surprise, it slid right up on the first nudge. What was she nuts, leaving her window open? She probably slept that way at night, too, making it easy for any crazy lunatics to enter her bedroom whenever they wanted. I'd have to remember that for the future. I was halfway through the window, waving my hands for a blind goat to come toward me. I said, "Bugger, it's me! Come here, mate!" The animal came right to me and placed his face in my palm. Gently scratching his head like I used to, I said, "You're a good boy. I can't believe you're still here." I muttered to myself, "You're nuts, princess, royally nuts, but I'm glad you kept him. Call me crazy, but he seems to remember me." He let out a long, "Bee!" The second time, I could have sworn it sounded like, "Dad!" "What's been going on here, huh? You're my spy. Is she happy? Does she hate me? Tell me." I scratched his head harder. "Ah, you're no help." He started to lick my face. "Oh, God, I never thought your putrid breath would be a welcome scent." Mutton wouldn't let me go. It occurred to me that one of the neighbors could suspect I was a burglar. Getting arrested was the last thing I needed at this stage of my life. My eyes wandered around the room and caught a glimpse of a man's suit hanging over the closet door. My heart sank. I kissed his forehead. "I've got to go. I'll come back and see you again. I promise." He grunted. "I know you don't trust me anymore. You have no reason to right now. I have to earn that back." For the first time, I noticed that a piece of metal was jingling from around his neck. "What the hell is this? She has a collar on you?" I looked closer at the name. Pixie. Hope filled my heart, which suddenly started beating faster. I rubbed my thumb across the engraved lettering. After everything I'd been through over the past 2 years, don't ask me why this moment was the first that almost caused my eyes to water a little. It was just the right push I needed to keep this going. A little bit of hope that maybe she didn't wish I were dead after all. It took a few minutes to get him to let me leave. He was trying to jump out the window to go with me. I was finally able to close it. When I turned around, the goat's face was still plastered against the window. I suppose I could have broken all the way into the house to get more clues about her life, but that would have been pushing it. Like I told Mutton, Pixie, I had to earn my way back into their lives. Not steal it. There was one more piece of business I had to take care of before heading back downtown. I remembered passing a home improvement store on my way to the house. After a quick trip over there, I returned with a modest Craftsman push mower. It took me about 40 minutes to mow Aubrey's lawn. When I got to the side of the house, Pixie was still waiting at the same spot. A few of the neighbors walked by, and I'd wave with a gigantic smile on my face. I hoped that they'd assume that she'd dumped Biffy Clark Kent's lazy ass in exchange for a real man who did yard work. Either that, or maybe they just figured I was a landscaper. Admiring the smooth tracks along the grass, I wiped my forehead with the back of my hand. My work here was done, but the real work was just beginning. That night, I'd somehow missed her. Either she left in the middle of the afternoon, or she was still inside working late. After waiting until 8:30, I finally had to give up and reluctantly left for the bar. A huge feeling of disappointment consumed me. Seeing Aubrey at the end of the day was always my reward, and I felt cheated today. "Carla Babes, hit me up," I said, assuming position on my usual stool. She was wiping the counter.
"Ozzy, you're late tonight, stalking overtime."
"Hey." Today wasn't so great. She stopped wiping to grab my drink.
"What happened?"
"I somehow missed her at the end of the day."
"You're losing your touch," she said,
slapping my rum and coke down on the dark wood counter. "I'm losing something. My marbles, maybe." Carla leaned her elbows down on the counter, displaying her massive cleavage.
"Anything good at all happened today?"
I started to laugh. "Actually, something great happened. I found my goat."
"Your coat?"
I chuckled again. "My goat with a G." Her eyes widened.
"What?"
I proceeded to tell her the story. Everything from how Aubrey and I found him to the shit, quite literally, that happened while on the road.
"Ah, that's so cute. So he's kind of like your child."
That was what Aubrey used to say. She must have noticed a look of melancholy wash over my face.
"What's wrong?"
"There was a man's jacket hanging in her room. I think he's living with her. They could be engaged and married for all I know."
"Well, you wouldn't know, would you? Because you haven't talked to her."
She took her rag and whipped it over my head jokingly. "This has to be handled carefully. I don't want to fuck it up."
"There's handling it carefully, and there's avoidance. How long are you really going to camp out like this? You need to just rip the band-aid off, man."
Taking one last gulp down and slamming the glass on the table, I said, "I hate when you're right, Carla Babes."
"You must hate me all the time, then."
She winked. Aubrey looked so incredibly beautiful walking into work the next morning. It was windy, which made her hair especially unruly. As usual, she stopped into Starbucks to grab her coffee before heading into the building. The ache in my chest was bigger than ever, because I knew D-Day was nearing. Even though I'd made a vow to rip the band-aid off in the next couple of days, I still hadn't figured out how I was going to approach her. When she was finally safely inside, I let out a deep breath and exited my truck to head into Starbucks and get my own coffee. Hungover again this morning, I'd slept through my alarm, arriving too late to risk going in earlier and paying for her drink. I decided to try something new today. I wanted to taste Aubrey. Well, I wished. Instead, I decided to order that frou-frou drink she always ordered to see what it tasted like. "I'll have a large non-fat 3-pump vanilla latte, low foam and extra hot." The young cashier's face always seemed to light up when she saw me.
"You're ordering her drink today for yourself?"
"Changing things up, yeah."
"What's your name?"
"Why do you need my name?"
"It's just procedure with specialty drinks. We write it on the side."
"Oh, Chance." She wrote my name in black marker on the cup, and I walked over to the other counter where you're supposed to pick up your order. I watched the barista make a couple of the drinks in line before mine. What a friggin' process, between the steaming and the frothing. It better have been complicated for $5 a pop. I heard the cashier's voice. Aubrey, what are you doing back so soon? My eyes quickly darted toward her. Then I immediately pulled my baseball cap down and turned around toward the back wall, heart pounding, chest constricted, stomach nauseous, a rush of adrenaline. Oh, fuck, 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 fuck. My heart had never beat so fast. I heard her voice behind me.
My boyfriend came into my office to talk to me and knocked my drink down with his elbow. It spilled all over my desk.
Fucking klutz.
I'm sorry. Let me get you another one free of charge. Thank you so much, Melanie. I appreciate that.
It felt like the walls were closing in on me. The sound of the steaming milk suddenly seemed deafening. I wondered if I could get away with sliding away slowly with my back facing the wall until I was behind her and out the door. Just as I'd started to move, the kid making my drink shouted, "Chance!"
"Did you say chance?"
Aubrey said. At this point, I was just behind her. Melanie, who probably figured Aubrey was just my innocent crush, decided that moment would be a good time to play matchmaker. She outed me.
"Chance is the guy who paid for your drink the other day. He's right there."
Aubrey flipped around so fast that she accidentally backed into a display of plastic iced coffee cups, knocking them down like dominoes onto the ground. Seeming unfazed by the disaster she'd just created, she stood staring at me with her hand over her chest, as if it were holding her heart in. I took my baseball cap off and crossed it over my chest. With pleading eyes, I whispered, "Princess." Looking like she'd just seen a ghost, she slowly shook her head as if to say, "This can't be happening." I took one step toward her. She held her hand out, stopping me in my tracks.
"No, don't you dare come near me."
My heart fell to my stomach, and it felt like my guts were twisting. This was not how I pictured things going down. I lifted both of my palms. "I won't, but please, just hear me out."
"You've been stalking me?"
"Not exactly." We were both silent. Filled with humiliation, I bent down and started picking up the cups she'd knocked over. Aubrey stayed frozen in the same spot. Nosy Melanie spoke from behind the counter.
"Why won't you just listen to what he has to say?"
Aubrey's chest was still rising and falling. She finally spoke.
"Let me ask you this, Melanie. If a guy led you to believe that he cared about you, then fucked you and left before the next morning without so much as a sticky note goodbye, would you hear him out?"
"Probably not," she laughed, then added,
"Well, if he had an ass like Chance, maybe."
One of the other female employees giggled. Aubrey looked at me with daggers in her eyes and continued,
"Okay, what if he never contacted you for 2 whole years after that, then all of a sudden showed up stalking you in your hometown? Would you hear him out?"
"Definitely not," Melanie said. "That's just weird."
"I rest my case."
Aubrey suddenly zipped past me and out the door. She was gone. Feeling like she just ripped my heart out and fed it to me, I stood, defeated, in the middle of Starbucks. After a minute of staring blankly outside the store window, I heard a voice inside my head that sounded awfully like Mum. "Grow some fucking balls and fight for her!" And that marked the end of my subtlety streak. I flew out the door and ran down the street, hoping I could track her down before she went inside her building. There was no sign of Aubrey anywhere. Flying through the revolving doors, I spotted her as she was waiting to get into an elevator. Just as she disappeared into one, I stuck my hand in the doors to open them. She was alone. Tears were pouring down her face. She'd been crying. As the elevator rose up, I hit the stop button.
"What the fuck are you doing?"
she screamed. Panting I said, if this is the only way I can get you to listen to me, then so be it.
You can keep me trapped in here for, oh, I don't know, 2 years for all I care. I'm not talking to you. Maybe then you'll know what it feels like.
Locking her against the wall with one arm on each side of her trembling body, I said, I'm glad to see you're stubborn as ever, Princess. Seeming uncomfortable with my close proximity, she swallowed before saying,
I need to get back to the office. Move this elevator or I'm calling the police.
I get that you're in shock. You weren't supposed to find out that way.
Is there a good way to find out that the person who tore your heart to shreds is now stalking you?
She had a point. Probably not. But you have to let me explain. The words that came out of her mouth next were hard for me to hear.
Do you realize how long it took me to get over you? My life is only just now getting back to normal. You can't come back after 2 years and expect me to just let you in after I fought so hard to let go of you. I'd finally let you go. Please, I'm begging you to leave.
My chest was so tight, it felt like it might burst. She'd let me go. Well, too fucking bad. I'm back. I'll go, for now. But I'm not leaving town until you agree to let me explain what happened. If you still want me to go after you've heard it all, then I swear to God, Aubrey, you will never see me again for as long as you live. Her eyes started to water again as she looked into mine. Without taking my eyes off her, I let go of the stop button and pressed the number for the next floor. I'm staying at the Sunrise Motel, room 8. I still have the same cell number as before. You call me when you're ready to listen. When the doors slid open, I got out, leaving Aubrey in the elevator with the ball in her court. I just hope she didn't choose to deflate it. Chapter 17. Was it even considered stalking anymore once the victim became clearly aware of the stalker's presence? Now that Aubrey knew I was in town, it was a totally different experience, with the risk of getting caught removed from the equation. Over the next week, I was basically just camping out in Temecula, hoping for a miracle. The only real stress was the wait for her to contact me. I'd checked my phone constantly, thinking that maybe I'd missed her, but she never called. Not wanting to piss her off more than I already had, I made a decision to take a break from showing up outside her office for a few days. Instead, I worked out hard at the gym all morning, taking my frustrations out on my body. I hadn't touched a woman in over 2 years, and the only one I wanted was apparently taken and hated my guts. So pumping iron was my way of coping with it until I could get her back. I only dreamt of all the ways I could take everything out on Aubrey instead. After the gym, in the early afternoons, I'd head to her house and continue the landscaping there. Someone had to take care of it, for Christ's sake. I laid down mulch, planted, and put in 2 princess flower bushes. Who knew there was such a thing as a princess flower? They were the perfect choice. The neighbors were used to seeing me working, with my pickup truck and mower in the back. They just figured landscaping was my job. My skin was now a shade darker after working for days in the sweltering heat. More and more mothers with strollers were walking by lately, too. I'd waved to them with dirt on my hands. These new female spectators seemed to be multiplying by the day. The best part, though, about spending the afternoons at Aubrey's was my time with the goat. Always waiting at the window, he'd come to expect me. Pixie. I still had to get used to calling him that. I'd bring him lunch. We'd eat together. I was becoming unhealthily attached to the smell of his breath mixed with freshly cut grass. Stinking bugger. My nighttime schedule was the same as always. I'd head to the bar and unleash all of my troubles onto Calabaves. One Friday night, however, there was a surprise change in my routine. I was sitting on my stool at the bar when Carla asked,
"What did you say Aubrey looked like?"
"Why?"
"Just describe her to me."
"Petite but curvy, wavy auburn hair, White eyes, creamy skin. Does she have a leopard print coat by any chance? I scratched my chin and remembered she was wearing one into the office one morning. Yeah, yeah, she does. Why? I think she was just here. Some chick fitting that description was looking over at us through the front window. I just made eye contact with her, and she took off. I turned around. What? Carla waved her hand towards the door. Go after her. Without thinking, I hopped off my stool and ran outside. Sure enough, Aubrey's Audi was exiting the parking lot. My heart was racing as she sped down the road. Since I'd walked to the bar, I couldn't even follow her. My little lead-foot princess jetted away too fast for me to stop her. I took out my phone and scrolled down to her number to send a text. Who's stalking who now? There was no response. After a few minutes, a return text came in. My heartbeat accelerated. Aubrey. It was a coincidence. Chance. Don't text while driving.
Aubrey. Why did you text me then? And don't tell me what to do.
Chance. Pull over, princess.
Aubrey. I wasn't stalking you.
Chance. Don't text me again until you've pulled over. Staring down at my screen, I just stood there in the parking lot. After several minutes, the phone vibrated again.
Aubrey. Is that what you do every night? Troll bars around town for women?
Chance. Are you parked?
Aubrey. Yes.
Chance. I've only been trolling around town for one woman. Said woman drives me to drink, thus the bar.
Aubrey. I wish you'd just go home. Stop texting me.
Chance. Stop texting? I figured you'd like the vibration. No response. That might have taken it too far. It was too soon to joke with her like we used to. I sent another text, giving her the honest response to her request that I go home. Chance. My home is where you are.
Aubrey. You burned down our home in Vegas after you fucked me and left.
It fucking hurt so badly to see those words. I stared at them for almost a full minute before responding. Chance. There was a reason I did what I did, and I need to explain it to you in person. I won't do it over text.
Aubrey, there is no excuse for what you did.
Chance, where are you? I'm coming to you.
Aubrey, no, please don't.
Chance, you have to see me eventually, if you ever want to get rid of me.
Aubrey, why are you doing this?
Because I love you. Fuck, where did that come from? Chance, please come back to the bar, or I can walk to where you are. I can't drive because I've been drinking.
Aubrey, I can't see you tonight. I'm not ready.
Chance, will you ever be?
Aubrey, I don't think so.
Chance, who is he?
Aubrey, who?
Chance, your boyfriend.
Aubrey, you mean you don't already know? What kind of a stalker are you?
Chance, tell me his name.
Aubrey, his name is Richard.
Chance, is he living with you?
Aubrey, that's none of your business.
Chance, I saw his jacket hanging on your closet door.
Aubrey, you've been staring into my bedroom?
Chance, yes, only when you're not home, and I never entered your house. I wouldn't.
Aubrey, it's still sick.
Chance, I can't believe you kept him, by the way.
Aubrey, I don't abandon the things I claim to care about.
Chance, neither do I. It's why I'm here.
Aubrey, after 2 years?
Chance, I came here the first chance I got. Even though it was true, I'm sure that confused her. She didn't respond, so I texted her again. Chance. You named him Pixie. That's proof that you don't hate me.
Aubrey. I can't do this anymore.
I didn't want to upset her any further, so I stopped the communication. It surprised me when my phone vibrated again back inside the bar about 15 minutes later.
Aubrey, when have you been doing the gardening?
Chance, all day while you're at work.
Aubrey, thank you.
If it were possible for a heart to smile, I swore mine must have done it in that moment. Chance, you're welcome.
Aubrey, please don't feed him corn anymore. He doesn't digest it, and it's not pretty.
I chuckled. Chance. Whoops. That was the end of our conversation that night. It was more than I could have ever hoped for. Aubrey was still avoiding seeing me at all costs. When another week went by, I knew my approach needed to be more aggressive. With each day that passed, it bothered me more and more that she didn't know the reason behind my leaving, and I still refused to have that conversation any other way but in person. I understood that she was scared, but it was becoming urgently necessary to find a way to get her alone so we could talk. One Thursday afternoon, I got a call from my agent back in Australia about a new potential marketing opportunity. So, I did what anyone in my position would do before entering into a new business deal. I got lawyered up. Chapter 18. I have an appointment at 11 with Ms. Bloom. The receptionist smiled and looked down at the appointment book.
Mr. Bastardo?
The one and only. I was grinning from ear to ear like an idiot. The woman probably thought my excitement was for her. She was a pretty girl. I bet plenty of men lit up around her. But my enthusiasm revolved around only one woman. Even hearing her voice through the intercom made my heart speed up a bit.
Yes, Kelly, Aubrey said.
Your 11 o'clock consult is here.
Thank you. Would you show him back in 5 minutes? I need to get organized.
I pictured her desk scattered with papers. Kelly let go of a button and spoke to me.
You can have a seat. I'm actually going to give her 10 minutes. She's one of the best attorneys here at the firm, but her desk is usually a disaster.
I sat in the reception area and thumbed through a magazine as I waited, but I couldn't concentrate. I'd been waiting almost a week for this appointment. Yesterday I went and picked up my new suit. It was custom tailored and fit well. When I looked in the mirror, it might have been the first time in 2 years I didn't hate who stared back at me. I straightened my tie and hoped the sales lady, who helped me pick it out, was right. She'd said the blues of the tie brought out the color in my eyes. It would be impossible not to hold a woman captive. Oddly, her choice of words fit what I wanted to do to Aubrey. Hold her captive. Quite possibly for the rest of our lives. I may have only spent 8 days with this woman, but we learned what takes most people 6 months of dating. Coming to Temecula confirmed what I spent the last 2 years thinking about. I was a goner when it came to Aubrey Bloom. Kelly walked around her desk.
Mr. Bastardo, if you're ready, I'll take you back now.
I took a deep breath. I'm very ready. We walked down 2 long halls and passed a few men in suits. This place was a goddamn smorgasbord of biffies. Another turn, and then Kelly stopped at a door. Corner office. Nice, princess. She was appreciated here. I felt a sense of pride.
Hi, Aubrey. I have Mr. Bastardo for you.
Thank you. Kelly stepped aside so I could enter. My attorney was looking down. She spoke before her head came fully up.
It's nice to...
Aubrey froze. I could have sworn there was a flicker of excitement in her eyes for a second, but it was quickly extinguished, replaced by anger. I'd expected her reaction.
Mr. Bastardo?
She rolled her eyes.
How did I not figure this one out?
Because you don't speak Spanish? I smiled, but she wasn't amused.
Chance, I'm at work. I can't play your games here. You need to leave.
I buttoned my jacket. I'm here on business,
Nice try. I'm a copyright attorney. If you've gone and gotten arrested for public intoxication or lewd and lascivious behavior, you'll need to go 3 doors down to Salino and Barnes.
I'm in need of a copyright attorney.
Is that so?
She wasn't believing a word I was saying.
It is.
Well, in that case, you'll need to see another attorney.
She stepped around her desk and folded her arms over her chest. Fuck if her getting tough with me wasn't the sexiest thing I'd seen in ages. I don't want another attorney.
That's too bad.
We stared at each other for a moment. Then she smiled. It wasn't a happy smile. It was an I'm about to stick something up your ass and enjoy it smile. I didn't care. I liked seeing it anyway. I smiled back, twice as broad. She huffed and left the office. A few minutes later, she returned. I'd settled in and made myself comfortable in a chair in front of her desk. I stood when she walked in. A man walked in right behind her. The princess fucker!
Aubrey looked pretty pleased at herself when she spoke. Richard, this is Mr. Bateman. Mr. Bateman is in need of a copyright attorney, and I seem to be double-booked for this afternoon, so I thought perhaps you could take him on.
The Clark Kent wannabe extended his hand to me. Richard Klein? I nodded. Dick! Good to meet you! The squeeze I gave his hand when I shook it bordered on assault. I caught the clench in Aubrey's jaw. Then she corrected me. Through gritted teeth.
His name is Richard.
It's fine. Dick waved her off. I'm used to it. I don't usually shorten my name, but my dad was a Richard and everyone called him Dick. I gave Aubrey a little smile. She seethed.
Why don't you come down to my office and I can see what I can help you with?
I'd actually prefer to wait for Ms. Bloom. I was referred to her specifically.
I'm not available, Aubrey snapped.
Dick seemed taken aback by Aubrey's little attitude. That warmed me for some reason. I liked that she didn't give him her sass. Save it all for me, baby. I want all your sass and your ass.
Well,
Dick turned to Aubrey.
What else do you have today? Maybe I can handle one of your afternoon appointments.
I'd prefer you handle Mr. Bateman.
Dick looked at me apologetically, then spoke to her, his tone mildly patronizing.
It seems Mr. Bateman wants his affairs handled by you personally, Aubrey.
I smiled at Aubrey. I've been really looking forward to you handling me.
Dick came to my rescue. Why don't we step into my office and see what I can do to help clear up your schedule so you can get things started with Mr. Bateman?
Dick and Aubrey left the office, and Aubrey returned 5 minutes later with the receptionist, Kelly.
Have a seat, Kelly.
She'd brought a chaperone. I was disappointed I wouldn't be getting quality alone time, but far from deterred. Aubrey, on the other hand, was not happy. With a huff, she pulled a yellow legal pad from her drawer and slammed it down on her desk.
What's the nature of the legal services you need, Mr. Bateman?
Her pen was poised to write, and she didn't look up. Kelly looked bewildered at the entire scene playing out before her. I have two, actually. I opened the folder I was carrying, took out a large manila envelope, and slid it across the desk to her side. I've received an offer from a company who would like to use some photographs of me in their ad campaign. She snickered.
Oh, that's right. You're an ass model.
I ignored her. Anyway, the company that wants to use the photographs in their campaign wants the exclusive rights to the photo. And there's an American company that is using the photo on their website without permission. I need to send them a cease and desist letter to remove it before I sign the contract.
Fine.
And I'd like the contract reviewed as well.
Anything else?
Perhaps you'd like to discuss the terms of the contract over dinner.
I don't think so.
Breakfast?
Get out, Mr. Bateman.
I stood. I'd pushed pretty hard, and I didn't want to test my limits. You know how to reach me when you've had an opportunity to look over the documents.
Yes.
She finally looked up at me.
Apparently now you're available all the time.
She was pissed, but somehow her being pissed gave me hope. If she didn't care, she would have eased up by now. Thank you for your time.
Kelly, show Mr. Bastardo out, please.
Over the next 3 days, I stuck to my routine. Well, mostly to my routine. I arrived on Jefferson Street at my normal time. Only I went inside Starbucks in the morning and read the paper while I had my morning coffee. Each day, I paid for Aubrey's coffee and added a little something to the order. Yesterday, it was a banana nut muffin. Today, I decided on chocolate chip coffee cake. I ate the same thing and drank the same coffee. It was as close to having breakfast with Aubrey as I could get right now. Melanie, my barista, and I were becoming fast friends. She handed me my latte.
She smiles when I tell who you paid, you know.
She does. Melanie nodded.
She tries to cover it up quick, but I see it.
She had no idea. She just made my day. Thanks, Melanie. She leaned over the counter as if to tell me a secret.
We're all rooting for you.
It was sweet, but they didn't know what I'd done to Aubrey. At 8 o'clock, I went back into my pickup truck. I wanted to be near her, but not piss her off by being completely in her face. She didn't acknowledge me, but she knew I was there every morning. Like clockwork, at 9:30, Aubrey walked into Starbucks. A few minutes later, she walked out, with her coffee and chocolate chip coffee cake in hand. She took 2 steps toward her office, then stopped, surprising the shit out of me when she headed right for my truck. I rolled down the window.
Could you at least make my breakfast low-fat in the future?
I had to stop myself from saying what I really wanted to say, that I would make her whatever she wanted every morning at her place. Instead, I said, "Sure thing." She nodded and turned away, but halted after only 2 strides. She didn't turn around when she spoke.
The princess flowers bloomed this morning. They're beautiful.
Then she was gone for another 10 hours. I went to the gym and spent a few hours at Home Depot, picking up the supplies I'd need for my next project at Aubrey's. When I originally decided to drive down to Temecula, I had taken my pickup truck rather than the motorcycle, so I wouldn't be as easily recognizable. Turned out, the truck was coming in handy. It was a scorching hot afternoon, and I took off my T-shirt to wipe the sweat that was dripping from my forehead. I had unloaded 8 trips worth of cedar into Aubrey's backyard in the 90-degree heat. As I closed up the rear gate to my pickup, a woman who passed by frequently stopped to speak to me.
"Hi, I'm Philomena."
She had on one of those short white tennis skirts, knee-high rubber rain boots, and a skin-tight low-cut tank top. The sky was blue, and it hadn't rained for days. My eyes dropped to her cleavage. You couldn't help but notice she had some major knockers. "Chance," I nodded. She lifted her hand, which was in a cast, to gesture down the street.
"I live down the block, Chance. I've been watching you out here for a week. I was wondering if you'd like to do me."
She was propositioning me to mow something, but it definitely wasn't her lawn. It had been 2 years. Looking was a given, but I had zero interest. I caught her eye. "Thank you, but I only do Aubrey."
"Lucky woman. You've really added some curb appeal to the place."
I looked back at the once drab bungalow. It was looking pretty good now. "Thanks. They're princess flower bushes."
"I wasn't talking about the gardening."
I tried to change the subject. "Hope you didn't injure your hand too badly."
"I tripped over my pig in the middle of the night. It's just me and him. He's the man of the house."
She winked, walking away and tossed back over her shoulder.
"If you change your mind, my house is number 41. Stop by. Anytime."
Later that night, I was recapping my day to Carla Babes when my phone vibrated on the bar. I had texted with Adele earlier and expected the text to be from her again. I was thrilled as shit to find it was from Aubrey. Aubrey,
your photograph was removed from the website today. I also negotiated compensatory damages.
Chance, wow, that's great. You're good.
Aubrey, I'm good at my job. You'll need to sign a release. I also have some changes to suggest on the contract.
Chance, where are you? I can come now.
Aubrey, come by my office tomorrow at 9:30.
Chance, I'll bring our coffees. The vibrating stopped, and I thought it was the end of our conversation. A minute later, my phone danced on the bar, and my heart danced right along with it. It's pretty amazing what can give you hope when you're desperate to find some.
Aubrey, are you building a pen for Pixie?
Chance, I am.
Aubrey, he's going to love it.
My phone went quiet after that, but I didn't give a shit. I had a date with Aubrey in the morning.
Chapter 19. Green was my new favorite color. It was obvious Aubrey fancied it herself, seeing as it was the second time she'd worn a green blouse since I started my stalking routine. The dark color made her skin look creamy, and the green in her eyes reminded me of peridot, my mum's birthstone. It was a double hit, thinking of mum and realizing I'd missed two of Aubrey's birthdays. I cleared my throat and spoke.
You look beautiful.
Did you hear a word I said?
I hadn't, actually. I was too busy undressing her with my eyes to concentrate. God, what I wanted to do to her. The desk was making it impossible to focus. She was sitting behind it, but all I envisioned was her ass on top of it, with my head buried between her legs. Our eyes locked, and she saw what I was thinking.
Don't.
Her eyes were pleading, and she held up a hand. But I needed to push today. We need to talk, Aubrey.
No, we don't. I'm at work, and this is a business meeting. That's why Kelly is here.
She motioned to the receptionist, who was again sitting next to me. If Aubrey thought I was above spilling my guts in front of Kelly, she misjudged my level of desperation. So, see me after work. See me for breakfast. See me at 2 in the morning. I don't give a shit where or when. Just see me, Aubrey. We need to talk. We both need to set things straight.
I'm already straight, and I've decided our time together will be limited to this office.
We stared at each other for a minute. The only one to flinch was poor Kelly. She fidgeted in her seat like she needed to go to the bathroom. Finally, I broke our standoff. All right, Aubrey. Then you leave me no choice.
What are you talking about?
We're going to have our conversation right here and right now, then. Aubrey stood and folded her arms over her chest.
We are not!
I rose and joined her, mimicking her posture. Yes, we are. Kelly's voice was apprehensive.
Would you like me to leave?
Aubrey and I answered at the exact same time, only I said yes, and she shouted no. Kelly stood, then sat back down when Aubrey glared at her. Where shall we start then, Aubrey? Since Kelly here doesn't know the whole story, maybe we should start with the last time we were together, with a desk in the room. Aubrey's eyes flared. I turned to speak to Kelly. Have you ever been to Las Vegas? There's a hotel on the...
You can go, Kelly.
She didn't need to be told twice. Kelly darted out of the room and closed the door behind her. I'd need to remember to thank her for that on my way out.
Why are you doing this, Chance?
She tried to keep stern, but her voice cracked.
I just need you to hear me out. I'll leave you alone if you want me to after that. I give you my word.
Your word? She scoffed. 15 minutes. That's all it will take.
10.
That's sass. I couldn't help but smile. Fine. 10. Can we sit Reluctantly, Aubrey sat down. I'd been waiting for more than 2 years for this moment, yet suddenly I didn't know where to begin. So I started where the story did. "Do you remember? I told you about my sister, Adele." She nodded. "I told you she went through a rough patch, but I left out just how rough things really got." Her face softened slightly. I blew a rush of air and raked my fingers through my hair. There was a burn running from the pit of my stomach up through my throat. Time didn't ease what had happened one bit. I could have been having this conversation with the detective 2 years ago. The words were just as hard to get out. Adele was raped. Aubrey's mouth dropped open, and her hand flew to her chest. I wasn't there for her. She got mixed up with a bad crowd.
"I'm so sorry. Is she okay?"
I smiled, thinking of my sister the other day, wearing a damn bun in her hair. "Yeah, she's doing pretty well now."
Aubrey nodded. "So, that's why you left?"
"Yes, but there's more."
"More?"
"It's a long story, but the police were having trouble finding the guy, and I did some things."
"What kind of things?"
I held her eyes as I spoke the next part. "I beat a man until he told me where I could find the guy who'd attacked my sister. One of the biggest fears I had was that my admission would scare her. But Aubrey didn't flinch. That's my girl, fearless. Her reaction gave me the courage to go on. I injured him badly. I had to pay for what I'd done. The afternoon after I left you, I began a 2-year prison sentence." Aubrey stared at me. I gave her a minute to digest everything I'd just said. Then I finished what I'd come to say. "I got out the day before I showed up here in Temecula. I never planned on meeting you before I went in. I tried everything I could to keep my distance on our trip, but I couldn't."
"Why didn't you tell me?"
"Because you deserved better. I didn't want you waiting around for 2 years. You had just dumped one loser and were ready to move on. I couldn't saddle you with any more baggage."
"So instead, you broke my heart."
The question wasn't asked meanly. She was trying to make sense of it all. I nodded, and mine too. We were both quiet for a long time. She was staring down at her hands folded on her desk. I had one more thing I needed to say, and she needed to hear me. I shifted in my seat and leaned forward, covering her hands with mine. "Can you look at me?" She hesitated but did. "I'm sorry, Princess, for everything. For hurting you. For leaving you behind. For not being there when you woke up. For not being there every day since then." Aubrey closed her eyes. There was a look of pain on her face, and I hated that I'd put it there. I wanted to wrap my arms around her and hold her so badly, but I didn't. I'd pushed enough, and anything more was selfish. My heart was pounding in my chest, and when she finally opened her eyes again, she was staring at our joined hands, at the ring I was still wearing on my finger, my wedding band. Her eyes watered. The silence was torture.
"I'm sorry you and Adele had to go through that,"
she finally said, her voice hoarse. "Me too. I just want to put it behind me and move on." Another bout of silence.
"I was finally happy. Richard makes me happy."
"That fucking hurt," she continued.
"I need time to process. I've spent the last 2 years hating you."
"I understand. Let me make it up to you, Princess."
"How long are you staying in town for?"
"Until you're mine again. I don't really have a plan yet, but I'm sort of in the middle of a project." That caused the corners of her mouth to twitch up a bit, although she was quickly serious again.
"I need some time," she repeated.
It had been 2 long years, but I'd finally said my piece. Now I was going to have to wait to see what would bring Aubrey hers. I'm not sure what I thought I would feel after finally getting to tell Aubrey everything. Perhaps a sense of relief, but the reality was, I felt even more anxious than before. Before we had unfinished business, but now, what of knowing everything that happened? She forgave me, yet she still had no interest in being with me. We'd either just opened a new door, or finally given each other closure. I sat in my truck for 2 hours outside of her office, even though I promised I'd give her space. I just needed to see she was okay for myself. My head was pounding, and I shifted my seat back, ready to close my eyes for a few minutes. But a flash of green caught my attention right before my lids shut. Aubrey was standing in front of her building carrying her briefcase. She slipped on sunglasses, looked down, and walked across the street. Unlike most days, she wasn't checking her phone or walking with an energetic bounce. Instead, her posture looked defeated, and her walk was more of a trudge. A minute after she disappeared into the lot where she parked her car, I watched her Audi pull out and turn toward home. Surprising even myself, I didn't follow her. Instead, I decided to refocus my energy. Being prepared for a fight meant getting to know your opponent. It was about time I got to know a little more about Dick. At nearly 7, my adversary made an appearance. He rushed to his BMW and took off in the other direction of Aubrey's place. I cut a quick U-turn and followed. The princess fucker took me on a nearly half-hour drive before exiting the highway. I wasn't familiar with this part of California, but it didn't take a geography expert to know we were in a less-than-idyllic neighborhood. There were the obvious visible signs, buildings with broken and boarded-up windows, graffiti, messy yards, time-worn cars that looked abandoned. The few commercial buildings that held stores had bars covering the doors and windows. A very visible police car was parked at the corner of a four-way intersection. Where the fuck did Dick live? I followed a half-block behind, careful not to call attention to my pickup. He weaved in and out of side streets that made me want to lock my doors. Eventually, he slowed and pulled to the curb. I parked on the opposite side of the street, 5 or so cars back. If I was going to keep up with this shit, I really needed some fucking binoculars. Dick reached into the back of his car, pulled out a bag, and proceeded to start changing his clothes right there in the front seat of the car. What the fuck was he doing? The street we parked on was lined with dilapidated multi-family housing. A half dozen bandana-clad guys hung around on a stoop nearby. I was pretty sure I'd just left a couple of them behind at the state penitentiary. Dick got out, looked around skittishly, and headed to one of the rundown buildings. He disappeared down a set of concrete stairs that looked like it led to a basement entrance. A few minutes later, another man headed to the same door. This guy had a long matted beard and wore a wool cap and heavy army jacket, even though it was still close to 85 degrees. He was also scratching his face incessantly and looking around frantically as he walked. Dick was in a crack den? The day was getting a lot more interesting. After spending 2 years in a prison full of criminals, I was anxious to get the fuck out of there as night fell. The neighborhood that had seemed desolate was suddenly starting to come alive, with people who didn't go out until they could hide in the shadows of darkness. But I waited. If Dick could be out here, so could I. More than an hour passed before the princess fucker jogged up the stairs and onto the street, with a brown paper bag in his hand. He wasted no time getting in his car. His fancy ride pulled away as soon as his door was shut. I didn't follow him. Curiosity had gotten the best of me, and before I knew it, I was locking my truck. I hadn't planned what I was going to do once I got to the door. Buying a vial of crack as evidence to show Aubrey that Dick was a dick probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. I would have to settle for understanding what I was up against, and worry about what to do with the information later. The stairwell was narrow, with only a few steps leading to a closed door. When I got to the bottom, I found the door was actually left a crack open. There was also music coming from inside. I edged it open. At first, a little,
then a little bit more, until the door suddenly swung open and I nearly fell into the building. I looked up expecting to find a gun to my head for breaking into a crack house, but what I found couldn't have been more different. A priest was holding